Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers were presented by Progressive Insurance.
What a great Tuesday.
Coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase.
So happy today. I'm throwing extra salt on the wound of all the UNC fans out there. How's it feel? How's it feel to be home just like us? Welcome to this salty party.
Dude, I remember just as a fan, anytime, I think 04, the Red Sox come back on the Yankees, come back down 03 to win the series. If they would have just lost the World Series, I could have lived with it better. The fact that they went on to win the World Series killed me. It kills me to this day. You, at least, yeah, they ended Coach K's career, whatever. They didn't win the national title.
It's hard to get over that hump, though. It's hard to get over that hump that they ended my coach's career. But it's bearable now because when you have a wing blow a 15-point lead in a national championship game, it just, as a fan, it makes you feel warm inside. It does.
I thought they was going to win. But
I thought they were going to smack them.
I thought it was over. Oh, they got this. They getting ready to do them in, especially the way Hubert Davis was talking. He felt good. They looked good. They was up by 15. I'm like, oh, this is a wrap.
I love all the loser talk. You ready for it? This is what you do, naturally. The way you make it okay for yourself, Key. You're like, ah, you know what? We still had a great year. It's a great year. Can't take anything away from them. Great season. We got there. I'm like, yeah, but you didn't do it.
Manic was wide open, hitting threes. You're like, oh, they got this.
You'll never be able to bounce back from that one, though. When you up by 15 and you lose, you squander the lead and you lose when you're in a championship, not a regular season game, that's hard to come back from. It really truly is.
First of all, the start time of these games, like
9:20, what are we doing?
Come on. It's 10-something and we're at the half and Hubert Davis is talking about, hey, we got to keep our foot on the pedal, whatever, you know, like that whole, this is a great team we're playing, and you're thinking, oh, they got this.
Why did it start so late?
I don't know. That was my problem with it, because I'm sitting here. The game was over 12:15, 12:30. I'm like, oh, I have to wake up in 2.5 hours. Oh, my God.
And I was about to text you, but I picked it up because originally I was looking for the K because I text
you.
We talked doing our pregame show on College Game Day. And then I was like, oh, okay, it's on CBS. So I'm going to CBS and they got like NCSI on or something. I'm like, what the hell? Where's the game? And so I had to scroll through all and I finally found it. I was like, damn, okay. I was worried, though, that I wasn't getting the game. I thought I was blacked out.
Think about what they're doing. Whatever the financial incentive is, your long-term incentive, how are kids who got school on Monday supposed to, Tuesday, supposed to stay up until midnight watching sports?
Days after championship games, there should be some kind of national.
Kids with school?
Spring break, though, right now, right?
How about producers who have to get up at 2:30 in the morning?
I get it. But what I'm saying is, who cares about us because we're going to age out of the demo? If you want to be popular,
well,
if you want...
Speak for yourself.
You got to like another...
Black don't crack, bro.
You got
another... Black don't crack. First of all, I'm going to stay young and... Very,
Keys,
you know,
very
natural.
Vibrant, yes. And natural.
Keys out of the demo. Hold on. Now. I think he just aged out. Now. I mean, but you want to be popular in 10 years, 5 years? You want kids like that? All that. When we were kids, get off my lawn. But when we were kids, you could watch sporting events. I remember people complaining about that back then, but it wasn't on at midnight.
Yeah, I don't know why. Has it been like this every? I mean, you
it's
covered
been
it.
Late.
Has
it's been late. Late. It's been pretty late. But I will tell you, it was worth staying up for just watching Mark Emmert squirm, handing Bill Self and KU the national championship trophy. It epitomizes exactly what it is in college basketball.
Fan base has been extraordinary. We're so excited for you. And here to present the trophy is the head of the basketball committee, Tom Burnett, to Coach Self and the Kansas City Jayhawks, the University of Kansas Jayhawks.
The Kansas City Jayhawks, not the Chiefs. It's the University of Kansas Jayhawks, man.
Listen, Bill Self, coach of Kansas, the NCAA has charged
epic fail, man.
With 5 level 1 violations that were labeled egregious or severe, right? So now that the rules have changed about money in the game, it seems, oh, how quaint that there was an investigation involving the FBI. This, but there are people in jail right now behind that. And you know, obviously Bill Self is not one of them. He's winning a championship, but Emmert obviously has certain feelings.
Max?
Yeah, but Emmert obviously had certain feelings about that.
Dude got a lifetime deal.
Dude, Kansas has a $196 million deal with Adidas through 2031. Yeah. You ready for this? Jim Gatto, who is a guy that was leading the charge that was supposedly paying players key. KU is actually trying to get $1.1 million in restitution from Gatto as they also signed a long-term deal with Adidas and they gave their coach a lifetime deal. Think about that. Like, that's where we are in college basketball. Like, are people giving kids money? Yeah, you're damn right. They deserve money.
They've always been getting money.
Stop. They've always been getting money.
I feel hypocritical in this situation because I hate cheating in sports.
Right.
Like, I just hate it. But for some reason, when it comes to paying players in college sports, I'm okay with. A little bit different than steroids and PEDs. I hate it. I hate it.
It's very different.
It's the worst. But it's still cheating. And what I mean
by
this is
it's not cheating, though, Key.
It is.
Because I would frame the conversation around the NCAA
cheating.
Has been cheating the it's kids
cheating,
and the players
still
for so long.
How is it cheating?
Because if I'm a team playing against Kansas, not these kids this year. These kids this year.
Yeah, nobody in this year's team
did that
yet.
Nobody on this year has anything to do with it. But if I'm playing against the teams that did have something to do with it, and let's say hypothetically they were in the championship, the reason they're in the championship is because Kansas bought their services.
Okay, then
Washington State, if I'm Weber State, or if I'm St.
Some
Peter's.
Some place is not paying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I got to go up against this team with a nice salary cap. And I lose to them because they were able to go get a Jason Williams.
Jay, may I?
And we wasn't. You know, I don't like that.
Then Key, then take away John Wooden's trophies.
I get
go
it.
Go and take it away.
Yeah, John Wooden had the bag, man.
Come on, man. Then go take them all away then.
I get
then
it.
Let's stop acting like we live in this fairy tale
Let
world.
Me try to make the point you made earlier. I want to expound upon that, okay? Like, Key, what about this? Once you point, I understand amateurism is part of what you're selling, right? Like, look, the purity. But people are interested in it. Once you point a camera at it, and you start running commercials, and there's money.
Professional.
Thank you. So, like, the schools that aren't paying the kids are more a part of exploitation than the schools who have been paying the kids. That's why, like, it's rules breaking, and it does give you a competitive advantage. But on the other hand, the schools that were doing it so-called clean were just exploiting the kids' labor, basically.
I'm good with it now, right? But when they were doing it before the NILs, I wasn't good with it. I didn't like it before the NILs.
But that was all shoe companies. It's like, you know, if you're...
Stop, Jay, though.
What are you talking about?
Shoe company connected to the damn university.
It's all the same.
No, it is.
Like, it is the same. I'm just saying, though, if you're Adidas and you have Kansas as your top program, and then you have Louisville and some other schools, you're like, yo, I'm prioritizing Kansas.
Of course.
The more relevant Kansas is, the better it is for my product.
Of course, 100%.
So I'm going to start feeding all these 501Cs, 501C3s, these, you know, philanthropic endeavors called AAU programs.
Basketball.
Millions of dollars. Kids, you want 20 stacks here, take 20 stacks. You know why? You're going to be worth $30 million in 2 years.
No, I get it. I understand.
Take it to stay loyal to my brand. I can put you on my product in the future. That's worth it.
No, it's a seed investment.
And Key, there is a big difference between taking a substance that makes you better at the game and an institution getting a better team by bending the rules, right? Or breaking the rules, especially when the rules are set up to exploit the kids. So, it never bothered me. I never understood what the big scandal was because a lot of schools, a lot of the successful ones have always been paying them.
A lot of it, too, though, to be honest with you, from my opinion, it boils down to race, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole deep.
From my opinion.
No.
It has a lot to do poor black families benefiting on the opportunity to get some money to kids helping their families out. And people that have placed these individuals in jail or investigating or whatever the case may be just so happen to all be white.
Right.
I mean, that's just millions
of dollars, you know, because of advertising, etc. And God forbid a poor black family should get to participate in any of it. Then it's a huge scandal. I get it.
That's just me.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. Tiger. Tiger, I don't know.
Look like, good swinging?
What do I know? But he looked good to me.
Me too.
That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio and ESPN 2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Given where he was 14 months ago, now on this surgically repaired right leg, foot and ankle, it would be an amazing story for him to be able to do this.
We saw Tiger in a place where he just thought, I'm just happy to be out here swinging a golf club again.
Hey, look who's here. Greeny joins us. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Mike Greenberg giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Hello, fellas.
What's happening?
I'm great. I'm sitting here watching video of Tiger Woods walking across a golf course, and so all feels relatively well with the world, although I don't want to hijack this conversation
before
it has even begun.
Yeah. Please do so.
I have a bone to pick with one of my three favorite people in the world, and that would be Jay Williams. You know, Jay, you are one of my three favorite people behind my wife and one of my kids. Let them argue over which one. But why is it that I wake up this morning to an Instagram post of a happy dance?
Oh, yeah.
Because Carolina didn't win the championship after they beat you on Saturday night. Keyshawn, we can't be okay with this, right?
Why?
I know you guys have been talking about it. You cannot be celebrating when your arch rival beats you in the game of the millennium. You cannot then post a happy dance video when they fail to seal the deal 2 days later.
I can't, too, because I'm an athlete and I'm petty. I'm petty. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm very petty.
But that's taking petty to an almost
yes,
new
it
line.
Is. Yes, it is.
That's bordering on, that's approaching sour grapes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what my
but
life
it's
is.
Everything
yes,
bad.
Yes, and it was a 15-point lead that they blew. Yes.
Greeny, he's supposed to walk around right now with Kansas gear on.
Yeah.
From head to toe.
Yeah, Greeny, I'm
head
not with
to
you on
toe.
This.
Really?
Yes. I just think back to 04.
Yeah.
The fact that the Red Sox won the World Series is a killer. I would have been dancing in the streets if the Red Sox would have lost the World Series at least.
But here's the kicker, though. Yesterday, I had to convince him
yeah.
to root against North Carolina because he was going to root for them based
emotional.
On the conference in
yeah.
the ACC. I said, you can't do that.
Here's what I will say. I don't have a problem with you rooting against Carolina.
Okay.
I do have a problem with you posting that video that you posted on your Instagram story that looks like not only you were, that was more celebratory than the baby reveal that
yes.
I saw on your thing the other day. All right? So let's just make sure that we understand what our priorities are here.
Yes.
The little baby Williams girl who's coming along is number two this morning to Bill Self.
Yes, well, I was the second pick in the draft and my daughter will be number two. That's totally fine. North Carolina owns a lot of real estate.
And when the
heart.
Kid is born, that's the day to celebrate
yes, thank
that.
Thank you, Max, for providing clarity to Mr. Greenberg over here.
Absolutely.
Right. I didn't mean to change the subject on you guys, but I don't know. It didn't sit well with me.
Can you start coming on our show more often? I feel like we go to your show. Can
yes.
we have you over here with us?
I'm teaching
I need
right.
more
that
of this.
Was the genesis of
ask.
This whole thing.
Yes.
Every time Jay goes over there, I'm like, hey, can we get Greeny over here one time?
Well, here I am. Well, let's go fire away. What do we got?
Tiger Woods. What's going to happen with Tiger Woods?
Ooh. Here's what I think. I think if he hits a shot on Thursday, than he hits a shot on Sunday, which is to say, I don't think he plays. All these people talking about he'll decide if he can walk 72 holes. I don't think Tiger plays the Masters because he decides he can walk 72 holes. I think he decides to play the Masters if he thinks he can win. I don't think he plays if he doesn't think he can legitimately compete. So I believe that either he doesn't play at all, and I still think that's the likeliest scenario here, as much as, I mean, it's my favorite sport, it's my favorite event. I would love nothing more than to see him play. Realistically, I still think the likeliest outcome here is that he doesn't play. If he does, then I believe it is only because he thinks he can play well enough to compete, and he's as good a judge of that as anyone could ever be. So I think if he plays Thursday, he will be in it Sunday.
I think he plays, though, Greeny, and the reason I think he plays is because he's been in similar situations going into major tournaments before. Similar. Not quite the same, right? He's been injured before. He's had personal issues before, but he's gone on to play. Because one thing as an athlete, when you're out on that course or out on the court or on the field, your confidence soars. Like you said, a shot here, a shot there, you start to say, okay, when I get out there, I can walk. He can walk 72. Mm-hmm. There's no question in my mind, just looking at him, take those swings and looking at his body, I'm like, oh, he's in shape. He'll be fine.
But how do you guys keep minimizing the fact that you get all your power and your thrust from your back foot when you push off? If that is the same leg that is reconstructed with the topography of the course, like, that is 3-4 days of a lot of walking, Green. There is a cumulative effect on that.
No, Jay.
I know we just say walking and we want to equate that to all that's it's not. From somebody who has a leg injury, who's walked courses before, we played. It gets times like we try to go 36 holes.
If you don't mind
my
telling this story, to walk off. I play golf at a place in Bayonne, New Jersey, which is very hilly, not nearly as hilly as Augusta is. But it's very hilly. And after 9 holes, you couldn't go on because we don't have golf carts at our course. And because it just bothered your leg that much. Tiger Woods almost lost that leg, whatever it is now, 13 months ago. I've lost track. 14 months ago. So, look, I don't know. I'm not a doctor and I'm not sitting in his room. What I'm saying to you, Keyshawn, is I think his line of demarcation, or whatever the word I'm looking for is, I think his decision will be based upon believing he can win.
Yes. Mm.
I don't think he plays just because he thinks he can finish.
Yeah, I think he'll play because he thinks he can win. We haven't seen him play, right? We haven't physically watched him.
We saw him play with Charlie at that thing three months ago. Yeah, he was being outdriven by children.
Yeah, but at that time, he was basically coming back.
That's what I mean. He was being outdriven by children.
And at the same time, I don't necessarily know that he was trying to play at the top level. I mean, he's going through the motions. But you have to think, though, that his rehab has been so tense to prepare himself for being able to walk.
See,
you know how that sort of stuff is. They put him on them hills, on them climbing, on the incline, all that sort of stuff.
This is what I'm afraid of, Greeny, like the Michael Jordan effect. We think that Tiger Woods is going to come back and be Tiger Woods. I guess I have lower expectations of what I expect from him.
Well, how about this? Here's the next thing.
Just the fact that he's on the course
is
amazing.
Is he done? Look, he could have lost his life. That didn't happen. Could have lost his leg. That didn't happen. Could have never walked again. That didn't happen. Could have never played golf again. That didn't happen. He's way ahead of the game, right? But is he done winning majors? Does he have, whether or not it's this Masters, can he still win a major?
The only answer I can give you is yes. History says he can. And
yes,
because
I agree.
4 years ago, if you had asked that question, 99% of the people who follow the sport closely would have said no. So, look, it is a miracle that he is where he is now. And so if the answer to your question is yes, if whether it's this weekend or not, notwithstanding, I do not think he is done competing for major. Doesn't mean he winds up getting over the finish line. Look, it took Phil however many years. How old was Phil last year when he won the PGA? 51?
51, I think.
So, I mean, Tiger still has. That's the thing about that sport. And Tom Watson should have won the British Open that year when he was 54, 50, whatever he was. He's got 10 more years to make a run at just one miracle weekend. So if you told me right now I had to bet my life, will he ever win a major again? I would say yes.
What about 3 miracle weekends?
No, that's too much.
He's not going to catch Jack.
No, we will all die. And Jack Nicklaus will still have the record with 18 majors.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I think.
See, I think he'll win another major because it's Tiger Woods. Right. I understand what Jay is saying, Michael Jordan effect. If you told me that if I got Mike Tyson in shape, he'd be the heavyweight champion again. I believe that.
Yeah, right.
Because I've seen him just
some guys leave an emotional impression.
Yes, yeah. I've seen him beat the odds too many times. The moment, like you said, 4 years ago, he'll never. All of a sudden, you're sitting there at the end going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can you believe what just Tiger
imagine,
just did?
Imagine if he wins a major in the next 2 years. Forget, he doesn't even play in this Masters. Now he's at 16, and we're looking. He's going. He's not even 40. He's 40, late 47, and he's at 16. We may feel differently about this.
Oh, we will feel differently, and no one would love to see that chase more than I would. But I mean, to like four more majors or three more, let's say, that's like a great career. that's like a Hall of Fame career. You go to Ponte Vedra for eternity for winning three majors. Tiger's going to start doing that at 47 after almost losing his leg. Even he, I can't bet on
Greeny,
that.
Can I geek out for a second?
Yeah.
Why is he wearing FootJoy instead of Nike?
You know what? Ooh. My nephew said the same thing to me the other day. A lot of people seem to be very put off by that. They're very comfortable. Is the only thing I can tell you. They are extremely comfortable.
No,
they're not owned by Nike.
I don't know if they are or they're not. But I do know that I bought them because they are ridiculously comfortable.
Purposes. Can we switch topics to a little college basketball?
Yeah.
Now, okay, let's assume. Coach
Congratulations,
K,
Jay. By the way, I'm so happy for you. The Kansas beating North Carolina last night.
Let's assume Coach K is retired for good. Who's the best coach in college basketball? Who's
you heard that, by the
now?
Way. Let's assume.
So when you say, can I double back on that very quickly? Are you suggesting you think there is some chance he pulls a Tom Brady and comes back?
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I think there's a legit chance that it could happen.
Yeah.
Based Duke on just lost Nolan Smith yesterday, their top flight recruiter, who got them the number one recruiting class. Now there's a huge vacancy, and it kind of leaves John Shire alone on the island.
I'm fascinated by the question. So then going to the answer... I mean, I think there's three people who jump to mind. One of them is Bill Self last night. I mean, what's the over-under on how long it is for this title to be vacated? But one way or the other, Self is in there. Speaking of vacated titles, John Calipari has to be in there. But I think the answer might be Jay Wright. I think that NBA teams are going to be pulling up to Jay Wright's house in Philadelphia, which is a truck full of money. I think this offseason... The Sixers, if this thing ends as badly as I think it's going to in Philadelphia, then I think Doc Rivers will cease to be the coach there. Mm-hmm. And I think I think Daryl Morey might want to hire Mike D'Antoni and put together D'Antoni and Harden again. Yeah. But if not, then I could see them going after Jay Wright. He wouldn't even have to move out of his house. So the answer to your question, I think Jay Wright might wind up in the pros I'm hedging.
So no Coach K, no Jay Wright. Who's the best coach in college basketball?
I think it's Self.
It's got to be Bill Self.
Yeah, I think it is. There's something about him that just doesn't feel sexy in the same way that some of the other. I don't know why. I like Bill Self. I don't have anything against him. But there's something about it that just doesn't feel... From a stature perspective,
is it about the scandal?
He got caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
The whole Adidas allegations and everything that went down with that.
None of that bothers me. I think the whole thing is nonsense anyway. He got caught doing things you should be allowed to do in the first place. But we do seem to frown on that sort of thing. So the best coach and the sort of stature may not necessarily be the same thing. So the best and most accomplished coach at this point, I guess, would be Self. How many guys have two titles? Him and Wright and who else?
That's it
him,
right now, right?
And Rick Pitino.
Oh, Pitino.
Here's the only thing I would say about this. And by the way, the win this year, the championship wouldn't be vacated because nobody on this team participated in that scandal.
Okay. I was only kidding.
Yeah, anyway. No, I hear. You know, I just want to clarify. You know how people are. Yeah. But I would say
Emmer wanted to vacate it when he was giving them the
Kansas City Jayhawks. All I want to say is Tom Izzo. 10 Final Fours, a championship. It does feel like he is one of the patriarchs of the game.
Okay, thank you. I should have thought he's the stature guy. So like there's the championships sort of are one thing, and I guess you got to give that to Self. But from a stature standpoint, Tom is probably close to 70, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So he also kind of fits that.
He's got a championship and 10 Final Fours.
Everybody's dad,
And he's all-time winningest coach in Big Ten history.
You know how I feel. One championship ain't going to do it for me.
Not anymore,
I don't care how great you've been in your run. One championship ain't do it. Don't do it for me.
But no one has more than two.
Gonzaga goes on runs and can't finish the deal. It means nothing to me.
But the problem, Key, is that I would agree with you if someone had four. But, like, The max is two.
Two.
So he's only one shy of what anyone else has.
But two and young at doing it for the most part. When you look at Jay Wright, 22 years at doing it. I think it's 22 years or so at Villanova. And then you look at Bill Self. What's that been, about 18 years?
Yeah.
Or maybe even a little bit less.
They got more runway still.
Yeah, so they got a long runway at Kansas.
Jay Wright's 50, and so you think about Coach K retired at 75. That's 25 more years he can coach.
He and I were talking about this.
Tom Izzo ain't coaching 25 more years.
When we were kids, and we're all about the same age. Yeah. Jay's a little younger. When we were kids, I really think this has to do with Tom Brady. Like, Dan Marino just needed one championship and he was in the club, right? Because the most was four, and that took Montana a while. So one would have done it. Then Brady came around with all these all of a sudden, it's like, Rodgers only got one. You need more than that. Tom Izzo only has one, right? Even if the next guy has two, one's not enough anymore.
We also just didn't count rings the way we used to.
I think
the Jordan thing is what has skewed that, because when you and I were growing up, Mac, we grew up in the same neighborhood. We had the same birthday. We grew up as sports fans very similarly. If you would ask me in those days, I could have rattled off to you, as I'm sure you could have, every statistic in sports. Ask me how many championships someone won. I don't know that I would have known that. That wasn't one of the things that factored into the equation. And part of that is that baseball was really the currency in those days. That was where most of the statistics came from. And, I mean, Ted Williams never won a World Series, and no one held that against him. Ernie Banks never won a World Series. No one held that against him. That sort of didn't go into the equation, because that was team stuff, and then individual stuff was more about how many
MJ.
Points did you score.
It was
MJ,
and
then Michael
Jordan
just won the championship every freaking year, and you said, oh, okay, so that's what the great ones do. If you don't do that, then you can't be in the club.
So real quick, I know we got a break. He says you guys same neighborhood, kind of same birthday.
About 7 or 8 blocks
same
away.
Same eye, same beard, same hairstyle. Interesting.
Well, so you should know. I don't know if this happens.
Greeny's a bit. Greeny's. You're six years older?
Unfortunately, I think 7. What year were you born?
73.
Okay, I'm 6 years older than you. Thank God.
All right, we got a break.
I have had, I would say, in the last 5 years, at least 10 times, someone has thought somewhere that I was Max Kellerman.
Oh my goodness.
I know we got a break, but I'm literally sitting here going,
it's a Larry David sitcom.
I don't want to tell the story about outside, but I told you what happened to me outside.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I got camera crews chasing after me because of something controversial this one said over here that gets me in trouble.
What'd you say?
And this is, God knows, back in the day when he would say something that made everybody. And I got a camera crew yelling questions at me, and I finally turned to the guy and I said, why are you asking me this? And he's like, what do you think, Max? And I was like, I'm not Max.
I swear, y'all. Look at the mic, though. Oh, I'm just looking. I'm sitting.
And then
looking.
I walk into the little place that you get your lunch every single day. What is the farmer's market over there that you like to go to? And they're like, the usual? And I'm like, I don't have a usual.
Where are your people from, Mike? We may be related.
This is the second time I've been in this place in my entire life. People think I'm Max, Keyshawn. You're not alone.
I'm looking at you and
by the way, people think I'm you. Occasionally, I got a note from a kid who went to Wisconsin and all this kind of stuff and wanted to an internship or something. Like, I'm not Mike Greenberg.
People don't confuse Key and I.
But here's the thing.
Shut up.
Right, what are you saying? We all look alike? Is that what you're trying to say?
You two do look alike, though. I'm serious.
All you two need to know is you are sitting between two handsome men. That's all you need to know. Thanks, Mike. Great to have you on the set with us.
All right, Greedy.
A trade in the NFL that shows one team is all in on its quarterback for 2022.
Evens out. It makes sense why this would happen, and so I can understand the perspective of both organizations.
These sorts of moves tell us a lot about how these teams perceive not only their current rosters but also their timeline.
I think this is about the Saints trying to move up to get a quarterback this year and the Eagles positioning themselves to get a quarterback next year.
But the order of the first round has taken a major turn just moments ago.
Hey, Keyshawn, J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance. Jeremy Fowler giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Morning, Jeremy.
Good morning. I like the little freeway intro. That's
Got
me going a little bit. I was dragging before just now. Now I'm up.
For sure. Look, we've heard a lot of rumors about a bunch of wide receiver trades, Jeremy. DK Metcalf's name is out there. AJ Brown. How many of these guys could potentially be moved?
I mean, Metcalf is the player that teams are sort of watching right now because of Seattle and all the change that's gone on, and they moved on from Russell Wilson, even though they said they had no intention to. They just said they have no intention to trade DK Metcalf. So teams are at least calling, looking around on this. Seattle's sort of giving the vibe privately and publicly they're not going to do anything. So I think it would have to be an offer they couldn't refuse, which is possible. I mean, there's sort of a receiver war going on right now, because like a boiling point, because all these guys need to get paid now. They're a year away from free agency. But teams are a little scared of that because they're like, you know, if $20 million a year is the starting point for some of these guys, but there's so many good receivers in the draft every year, I think you'll see the Packers and some of these other teams that need a receiver be patient, see what happens in the draft. If they don't get the guy they want, then they could make a move on, say,
Jeremy,
you know, Metcalf.
Can you take off your reporting hat and put on your Real Talk hat? Is DK Metcalf, is he an empty stats kind of guy?
Empty
As
stats.
As Key referred to him.
Empty calorie stats.
Empty calorie stats.
No, because he's not a – well, okay, he's not he's not the polished route runner. He's not like the pure wide receiver. But I still think he's enough of an athletic freak where he's going to he can impose his will on a game.
It sounds like you're kind of questioning whether he's a major difference maker. I think he
went into last year a fringe top 10 wide receiver. I think like the league looked at him as that. I think he fell off a little bit last year with the way things went. But okay, he's still probably top – I'd still probably put him top 15.
Now, a top 15 guy, I'm not giving $30 million
a
year.
Okay.
Well, no, I don't need 30. We're talking 20.
Yeah, but if I'm DK Metcalf, and I feel like I'm a top five dude.
Right.
I don't want $20 million. I need I need to surpass Devontae and Tyreek Hill.
Right.
No. Even though, you really have those expectations on Devontae Adams?
No, you mean on DK Metcalf?
Yeah, if you're DK Metcalf, you think you're going to surpass Devontae Adams? Is that realistic?
Man, what the hell do you think I'm supposed to think? You think I'm supposed to be the third or the fourth best receiver in the league? No.
Physically,
no one's
more gifted than you. So you figure
if I'm looking at it and I'm DK Metcalf, oh, yeah, I know Tyreek Hill, he's getting 27, I think it is. I need 30. The conversation is not going to happen.
That's not happening.
But that's part of the problem is a guy like DK Metcalf, who you say, I say empty stat guy, is not empty stats, Jay, much like Jeremy said. When you look at the body of work, fringe top 10, just let's leave it there. And then he fell off.
Mm-hmm.
You're not giving him as an organization $30 million, 120 over the next 3 years of fully guaranteed money. This, the next guy in line gets paid. He's the next guy in line to get paid. So now Seattle's sitting there saying to themselves, if you give me two ones and a two and a five and a six and in a return, oh yeah, I'll do it, because we don't value him like that. When you think about alpha dogs at the wide receiver position, game changers. And I'm not talking about a guy every single week has to have 100-plus yards. I'm talking about a guy who, on a certain drive, we're down by four and we're backed up on our own 30. I can give him the Cooper Kupp treatment and feed him five straight times and we at the 10-yard line now.
Mm.
He's not giving you that. So there's no value to me as an organization at that number.
Jeremy, what about the value, though, just of, you know, if you're top 15 or fringe top 10, there's half, two-thirds of the league that don't have a one receiver as good as you got, right? There's got to be a lot of value there, even if it's not exactly what Key just described as the guy you want to pay. Most teams don't have that guy.
Right, and you're look at what happened last month with Chris Godwin got $20 million a year, Mike Williams, $20 million
a
year.
On a torn ACL.
And these are good players, but I don't think you'd put them in, like, the top five, right?
Yeah. No.
So, and now you get all these guys ready to get paid. And Deebo Samuel, as we forget, like...
A Swiss Army knife, though.
But you could argue impact, game changer.
Exactly.
He's top 5 to 7. You
exactly.
Could argue that. So he's almost the next in line.
So if I'm Deebo Samuel, and you just gave $20 million to Mike Williams, and Mike Williams is not a game changer. Keenan Allen is their game changer.
Right.
You gave him this money. I'm looking at Tyreek Hill's deal, who's a game changer for Kansas City and now a game changer for Miami. I'm Deebo Samuel. I'm like, man, I need the same money as Tyreek Hill.
Right. That is true.
Excellent as always, Jeremy. Thank you.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Can you just reflect on your career and what it's meant to
you? I'd rather not. I'm not thinking about my career right now.
Everything is an abrupt ending in the NCAA tournament, but knowing after 42 years, that would be Coach K's last walk off a court after a Duke basketball game as head coach, you certainly felt it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. And did you know that you can listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max commercial free? That's right. You can listen to all your favorite ESPN radio shows and much more without the ads on TuneIn, the best audio app for sports. Just sports fans. Just download the TuneIn app to get started. So is Coach K retired for good? Is he about to pull a Tom Brady? Duke assistant Nolan Smith informed the staff that he will not be continuing in his current role on John Shire's staff and will instead take a position at Louisville as the top assistant on Kenny Payne's staff, per Mark Spears of Anscape. Smith was promoted to assistant coach last April. After one season as a formal assistant on Coach K's staff, he now departs for his late father, Derek Smith's alma mater. Mm-hmm. There are reports that Louisville paid heavily to get Smith, an incredible recruiter, who Jay Will has credited with being the key to Duke's incredible 2022 recruiting class. Jay, what does this mean, do you think?
So I don't know this for a fact. This is sheer speculation on my part. But there's a lot of moving parts here. First off, I'm really happy for Nolan Smith. He deserves to be an associate head coach. To go back to where his father played, him and his father, he lost his father when he was younger. I love that for Kenny Payne, who was the assistant coach with the New York Knicks, who was originally with John Calipari at Kentucky, now the head coach of Louisville. Louisville's about to be a crazy program for bringing Nolan Smith on as associate head coach when they confirm the deal. But I think it leaves a huge gap at Duke. And the question is, who fills that void from a recruiting perspective? And it leads me to think, which I've been thinking a lot about since I heard this news yesterday, that does Coach K come back for another season, one more final season? Now, I'm not saying I know this. I'm just throwing it out there because these kids are coming in expecting to win a championship. And they were recruited and they have close relationships with Nolan Smith. So it's like, you know, if I recruit Key and I'm one of the main reasons Key is coming to my school and now I'm leaving my school, even though the school has a great footprint, that creates a different dynamic between all these players. So now will some of these players decommit? Will they go to other schools?
That's what I was about to ask you. I was about to ask you that. If Nolan Smith is the guy, and clearly he is because you know, and he departs to go to Louisville, the kids probably most likely, Max, will look to try to figure out. I don't know if they sign. Basketball so weird. You can sign in November.
You can decommit now, yes.
Oh, yeah. So will they decide to decommit, join Louisville to some degree or other programs across the country that was already recruiting them? So it will weaken Duke's recruiting base to the point where they're not as heavy, you know, with the number one class anymore. Maybe they drop down to the fifth class, and will Coach K want to come back dealing with that opposed to the number one class? Because we got the number one class, you know what you got. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a appetizing, so to speak, when you look at it and you go, oh, I can win with this class. But if I'm losing some of the top McDonald All-Americans and they leaving, do I want to even take that on?
Well, that's a legit question. If you're Derek Lively, the second, who's a top three rated player in the class, if you're Derek Whitehead, who's number one rated player in the class as a guard, do you want to come to a first-year head coach where that relatability that you have with the assistant is no longer there, if it is Duke?
Yeah, that's the thing, Jay, that I thought of was, like, does Coach K think that maybe he can save this class a little bit if he announces that he, like, would come back and coach another year with some of these players who were were recruited by Nolan, unsure about playing for John Shire, but would they come back to play for Coach K? Again, I'm not saying this does happen, but it does feel like something that could be the impetus for Coach K to come back and it not be, oh, he's coming back for the attention. No, he's legitimately coming back because he thinks it's what's best for the program. It's what's best for John Shire.
How long has Nolan Smith been the top recruiter for
a while?
So if he's been the top recruiter, you would think, and this is what I think, because in football, the relationships are with the assistant coach. It's not with – Coach K is the closer. Coach K is not going in, night out, at these kids' AAU events, at these kids – you know, he's a closer. He doesn't have the relationship with the parents the same way assistant coaches.
He doesn't have enough time to put in the legwork.
He doesn't have
anyway,
so much like Evan is saying, can he continue to keep the class together? I don't think so, because the assistant coach who was recruiting him – is no longer there.
But if Coach K, to Evan's point, if Coach K doesn't like the taste that a loss to UNC leaves in his mouth in the Final Four, if for whatever reason he wants to come back, this is plausible. This is a reason where he could say, yeah, I threw myself a year-long party but by announcing that I was retiring, but the institution needs me.
Well, Max, here's why I give it a legit chance, Evan and Max and Key. Because if you're Nolan Smith and you have a great relationship with all these players, you're in the conference, man. You're at Louisville. You're picking up the phone and you're saying, yo, Derek.
Yeah.
Like, it's time. Yeah, we're here. We're doing here. We're going to put together a different team. Be coached by somebody. It turns into recruiting battles, man. And it weakens your hold on number one class. So if you're Coach K, how do you strengthen that hold? I'm coming back.
Plus, Max, he already did that last year, meaning 2021, where he announced his retirement early. To finish, or 2021, right? Yeah, 2021. He already said, oh, I'm only going to stay one more year on. Like, every year you keep saying you're going to stay one more year. Now, all of a sudden, you coming back. So, you got one foot in, one foot out. Families aren't going to want to be in that position, in that situation, and dealing with them.
You're saying it's more of a reason for him to stay where he is, retired.
Yes. Just be a helicopter coach, assistant coach, whatever you want to call it, sitting there. Overseeing the program opposed to trying to come back to save the recruiting
class.
Putting
your name on it and then it's a mess.
It's a mess.
The thing is, Max, they may need to go to recruiting more 3-star, 4-star recruits instead of the one and done so they can build the program over a longer time instead of playing the one and done scenario.
Aaron in Georgia wants to get in on this, guys. Aaron, who replaces Coach K as the best coach in college basketball?
Fellas?
What's going on?
What's up, Aaron?
What's going on, fellas?
You got 30 seconds, bro.
I know you guys kind of touched on it already, but I mean, Tom Izzo is never considered one of the greatest coaches right now. I mean, you guys compared it to having rings, but I think Larry Brown, who doesn't have any rings, is one of the greatest coaches in the NBA. So, I mean, why isn't Tom Izzo ever, you know, mentioned in that conversation?
Larry Brown got a ring with the Pistons in 04.
Larry Brown, Pistons, college with who? Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got rings.
Kansas did well at UCLA.
We're talking about active coaches now.
SMU.
One NFL owner said they ruined their quarterback. Is it too late to fix them? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.